CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. We're having a great conversation today with our guest, Olivia Mellon, about money management, avoiding money arguments. And it's been such a great conversation off air as well as on air that it's so interesting to everyone. So if you missed any part of the show, or you can go to our website, newskyradio.com, and you can download the podcast for free. You can also go to iTunes and download the podcast, again, for free, so you don't have to worry about money there. And you can listen to it, and you can also go to fireitupwithcj.com to get any other information on our guest today.
And it's for free.
For free.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. So in the previous segment, we had offered one of four steps to reaching harmony with your significant other. Maybe that significant other is at work, or it could be a couple, maybe your kid. They're just basically when you have money disharmony with someone that you care about or that you have to work with, how do you resolve them? So we talked about the first step is acknowledging the positive attributes.
Yeah, secret envies and appreciations of your partner's
time. Yeah.
Secret because you usually don't tell them.
Yep.
The second step is what I call practicing the non-habitual, which being where you ain't or doing what doesn't come naturally, which all individuals need to do to reach harmony, as I said before.
Right.
But for a couple, I call it walking a half a mile in your partner's moccasins. In other words, practicing the non-habitual in the direction of your partner.
Mm.
So that means hoarders need to spend, spenders need to save, worriers need to avoid more, or like write down their worries and then give up worrying for the rest of the day. Avoiders need to take on things they usually avoid, not exactly worry, but at least, you know, pay attention.
Right.
You know, money monks need to write down, try to do something a little selfish and see how that feels. And masters need to spend vacations without taking their laptop along and constantly looking to see that their portfolio is growing. You know, whatever it is, you can make up your own assignments. But you
right.
need
the idea
to
live in the
middle,
other person's
you know?
Shoes so that you have an appreciation, again, like an experiential appreciation.
Of your partner's style. And also, you're out of your chronic rigid mode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do that, that's step two, right? Walk a half a mile in your partner's moccasins. Number three, reward yourself for your new behavior in a way that does not undermine your behavior. Therefore, overspenders can't overspend, and hoarders can't put more money into the mattress if that's what they do, or in a checking account. You know, reward yourself by doing something that is neither the behavior nor its antidote, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do something that makes you feel good, that marks you did this thing that was not easy because it's different for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, monitor your progress and your resistance by writing down how it feels to be different. So just write a few notes about how it feels to be practicing this thing that is not your regular mode of operation.
Yeah.
That's it. I teach couples empathetic communication skills because couples can talk about money and fight in a minute, you know, or they can talk about money and really build something good.
Yeah, and I think actually the other thing is that I think the interesting thing that you mentioned in the first segment is understanding money does not equal love. Like
No, it doesn't equal love. It doesn't equal security, not even in old age, although it helps. You know, all of these money myths, except for the love one, are partly true, but mainly dangerous. Money does lead to some kinds of happiness, sometimes, although, you know, all these studies about happiness shows after a certain amount of money, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference, you know? Just in the first, I think, 50,000 or 70,000, anyway, then, you know, if you're poor, that makes a difference. But,
all right,
but
so let's take a real
money
example.
Doesn't equal, you know, freedom. I mean, there are people who are free and aren't wealthy. There are people who have security in old age and don't have more than enough money, but they're surrounded by people of all ages, so goods and services are naturally exchanged, you know? They live in a community where they don't feel isolated, et cetera.
Yeah, so examining your money myths. But I wanted to go through another, let's take a concrete example. Let's say you and your spouse are arguing about something simple. So let's say that we were talking about the break. We're arguing about our couch. What couch should we buy? I want to buy the, you know, $3,000 couch. We'll have it forever. Well, that's too expensive. How often, you know, you're having a money argument about
something. So what I do for couples is I teach them empathetic communication so they can enter each other's world completely and empathetically enter, you know, walk a half a mile in each other's moccasins emotionally. Mm-hmm. So I do that by, first of all, I ask them to start out by saying something nice about each other, an appreciation. It doesn't have to be about money. It could be about anything. And then the listener is going to repeat back what the speaker says. So let's say the speaker says, I want to buy this $3,000 couch. It's really beautiful and we'll have it forever. Mm-hmm. And the other person says, you want to buy this $3,000 couch? You think it's beautiful and we'll have it forever. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to play it back as close to verbatim as possible. Is there more? And they say, yeah. You, whenever I want to buy anything, you're always like a wet blanket. You always, you make me feel bad and you make me feel like I'm, you know, outrageous in my purchases. So the other person plays that back, okay? Whenever. So, okay, till there's no more, you know?
Okay.
So I wish you wouldn't do that this time. I wish you, even if you don't want to buy the couch, I wish you would communicate with me in a way that doesn't make me feel bad about myself.
Right.
So even if I don't want to buy the couch, you want me to communicate with you in a way that you just play it back. That's called mirroring, okay?
Right.
Harville Hendrix made this up. Step two is to go back over the message when the person says that there is no more, I'm finished for now. Then the person goes back to the listener and says, well, it makes sense that you want to buy this couch because you think it's beautiful and you are very aesthetic and you want our living room to look beautiful. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you say something empathetic. You can't say it makes sense that you feel anxious because your mother was a nervous wreck too. You can say, you know, that's not empathetic. So that's dirty pool. But you can say, makes sense that you don't like it when I tell you not to buy things because it feels like I'm cramping your style and I'm not letting you have the pleasure of buying what you really want.
Right.
So anybody might feel bad about that. You know, that's an empathetic. That's a good validation.
Right.
And then it makes sense that you want me to communicate in a way that is not judgmental, even if we decide not to buy this couch.
Right.
And that makes perfect sense because sometimes I am judgmental in the way I communicate, and nobody would like that, and you don't like it, of course. And, of course, if I could communicate in a more positive way, that would lead to a better outcome for us. That's empathetic. That's the empathetic validation.
Ah, right? Okay, got it.
And then
so
the third
basically
step
deep listening.
Is empathy.
Yeah.
I imagine you might be feeling sad, frustrated, angry at me, you know, very simple, just a few words, but not about what, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like the widest possible emotional screen, just enter their world.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, yeah, well, I am feeling that, but maybe they would say, I'm feeling less angry because I feel so well heard by you. And
mm-hmm.
the person could say, oh, you're feeling less angry because you feel heard by me. And, you know, that's it. That's the whole step one. And then they switch. By the end of that time, they've entered each other's world and they've attacked not at all. So each person feels safe enough to then have a more productive conversation, you know?
Wonderful. All right. That is well said advice. Hard to do at the time when you're so emotionally charged.
Yeah, well, if you're emotionally charged, you might
things.
Want to go away and come back when you're not so.
Yeah, but I think great advice. I think oftentimes we don't listen at that deep level and truly understand what the issue is. We just want to argue and win the argument.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say to my couples therapy clients through the years, would you rather be right or happy?
Exactly. You should probably put a little quote in front of your when you're talking about your money issue.
Yeah.
Just have that quote there. All right. Thank you so much, Olivia. You can find more about Olivia on her website, moneyharmony.com. So thank you so much for being here. Next week, we're going to be talking to Stan Cox, who is talking about his book, Any Way You Slice It, The Past, Present, and Future of Rationing. It's fascinating work. So,
thanks for having me. And tell people that Money Harmony is getting republished in the next few months, the new edition.
Excellent, excellent. And when's your book coming out?
I have 5 books on my website, moneyharmony.com.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much, Olivia, for being here.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend, everyone.